Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock-O-Nation podcast show. Oh, Knock-O-Nation podcast show.
Welcome to another episode of the Knock-O-Nation podcast show.
just roll with it. Who cares?
Welcome to another episode of the Knock-O-Nation podcast show. It's me, Josh, and we got JT with us, and Ken Hendricks is farming.
He's playing Farmville.
He's a farmer and he's literally cutting hay. Also, it's him and Cynthia's wedding anniversary. So,
well, congratulations, yeah. Guys.
Yeah. So after he's done cutting hay, he's going to.
No, don't.
He's gonna. Just spend some time with Cynthia, and they're probably gonna watch some D&D on Twitch.
It's not Ken I was worried about there. It's Cynthia might send you a pipe bomb in the mail or something, you know?
Yeah. Cynthia's sneaky scary. How you doing, bud?
Yeah, she yelled at me. She yelled at me before and made me. Her and your wife both yelled at me. It scared me a lot.
Cynthia's a sneaky, like, Facebook owner. Like, she'll own you. You think you're cool with her. And then, like, if you post something, depending on what it is, she'll just, you know, every now and then, just kind of come out of the grass and just like zing you.
She's vicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm good. We are in the process of buying and selling a home, and so that's craziness. But other than that, you know, pretty usual. Everything's in boxes behind me. So
when are you moving?
Supposed to close on it in about 3 weeks, so knock on wood, everything goes smoothly.
I love it. That's awesome. Are you going to be all done by the time we throw down at John D. Howard's in October?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, it should be all settled in by then. I'm hoping to get settled in by Saturday because the Saturday afterwards is the SEC football kickoff, and I want to have, like, you know, all my patio furniture set and my TV's on and all that fun stuff. So hopefully it won't take that long.
Love it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm currently in a Twitter war right now with some guy from 92.9 The Game.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, I didn't know they were still a thing. I've heard of 680 The Fan. Like they carry the Braves and stuff, and our friends are on there. But I thought 92.9 The Game went out of business. But anyways, they're still going on, and I'm in a Facebook war with John Chuckery, who does their evening show, and I've been trolling him for approximately an hour and 15 minutes now.
So he does the evening show, which we're both in the radio business. We both work in radio. We can tell you how prestigious the evening time slot is.
For you non-radio professionals out there, that kind of means that he's in the minor leagues.
Yes.
He's a bullpen guy. He's a late reliever.
But being in the minor leagues of 92.9, it's like being in the minor leagues of independent ball. It's not even like the minor leagues. It's like I pay for the affiliate for the Macon Bacon.
It's like being in the Baltimore Orioles bullpen.
It's like being the backup quarterback on an arena football team. One day I'll make it to the NFL.
So what
if I can get the starting job.
So what had happened was, apparently, this guy, John Chuckery, am I saying that right? Is it Cockery or Cuckery? Or Chuckery? No. Wait, sorry. It's Chuckery. John Chuckery is a evening broadcaster for 92.9 The Game. I checked out his Twitter. He looks like he's mainly a football guy. and he's one of those guys that hates Nick Markakis and all that. And so someone made one of those mashup videos, like the remixes, like the rap remixes of him throwing shade at Markakis. I guess when they brought Markakis back, he was like,
I heard that. It was kind of catchy.
It was hilarious. And so some guy made this remix of it and tweeted out there. And then someone added me and I saw it. And then I commented on it. And then this guy tries to like drag me. And then I was like, I said something about Markakis's WRC+. No, he said that Markakis literally has fewer or the same number of RBI as Matt Adams or something. And then I said he literally has the highest WRC+ on the team. And then this guy for like 30 minutes tries to drag me about WRC+. And then he said that's a triple crown sort of thing, which implies that he thinks that WRC+ is like a voted thing. I guess that's what he means by that.
I thought he was saying that like RBI is a big deal because it's part of the triple crown.
Oh, is that what he said?
And that's how I took it. Now, sure. And that is true, but that's also a thing that baseball writers came up with in like 1942 when like heavyweight boxing and horse racing was a big deal and you wore a fedora to the game. Things have evolved a little bit. What, the main thing with RBI, the main problem is it involves other guys that have nothing to do with the guy at the plate being
right,
on base.
Right.
It has way more to do with lineup structure than it does.
It's true. It's true.
The actual worth of the guy at the plate.
And there is some nuance there because there's two extremes as there is in anything. One extreme, far left, you know, baseball Twitter will tell you that RBI means absolutely nothing, and then the other far end of it, the John Chuckery guys would tell you that RBI is like a super, super important thing. Well, the truth of the matter is it's kind of important. It depends on lineup structure, like you said. It depends on who's on base. It depends on where you are in the lineup. But there is an art to it because, you know, to perform when a guy's on second or third or second and third, in my opinion, it takes some skill, as we've seen with Chipper Jones through the years. You spray the ball depending on where, you know, where the runner is. Anyways, And then we get in this Twitter battle, me and this John Chuckery guy. And so he thinks that I am like the stats nerd because I threw out WRC+, which is the greatest thing ever. So he doesn't know me. And so now all my followers are having fun trolling him because this guy is trying to drag me for being a stats guy. And then someone added me and said, hey, they're talking about you on this radio show. And then one of our patrons, Matthew Davis, just emailed me the audio file of him talking about me.
the whole Nick Markakis discussion, and I know Dukes and Bill had their fun and their stuff on Twitter and things like that. I'm actually going back and forth with a guy who is telling me what an expert he is because he podcasts from North Carolina. Now, imagine that. Imagine that you're a North Carolinian podcaster, and that's how you become an expert at Braves baseball. But okay. And trying to tell me about how well Nick Markakis has performed because he's leading the team in weighted runs created plus. Now, I'm going to repeat that. Because he's leading in weighted runs created plus, that means he's having a great year. Now, all I know is when I flip over the back of the baseball card and it says runs, hits, batting average, maybe baseball cards have now added the WRC plus stat to them. You can fill me in. I don't have any of this year's baseball cards, but I know for, I don't know, 70 years that the baseball card always had things like batting average, home run, RBI, and things like that. So, okay. Now, I know we don't like facts. We never like that. You understand after last night that Markakis finally passed Camargo and Matt Adams on the team RBI list. Now, Markakis doesn't hit 7th and 8th like what Camargo does or Matt Adams. Matt Adams isn't even on the team anymore. And now he has more at-bats than Matt Adams and finally just passed him. Markakis has done some nice things. But if you're excited because he gives you singles and doubles in modern era baseball, okay. If if you're like that, then 1974 is the year for you. I mean, Mickey Rivers gave you a lot of doubles and singles and stuff like that in 1977. I don't think Mickey Rivers was in 74. Let's say 77 for him. Markakis is a nice player, but the way some people act like how great Markakis is or has been, and then when you bring up other numbers, when I bring up he didn't have more homers or RBIs than Matt Adams, and you have to go to things like weighted runs created plus, weighted runs created adjusted for ballpark. If that's how far down the rabbit hole you have to go, you know, like that when they say, is a guy a Hall of Famer? If you have to make a big discussion about it, he's not. If you have to get me to weighted runs created plus as your argument, you've lost the argument. You've lost the argument at that point. Sorry. If that's how far down the rabbit hole you have to go. If I say, well, you know, he's hit more homers than RBIs and than him, and he's got better numbers of runners in scoring position. No, you don't understand. He's got weighted runs created plus. Okay. I'll let you all sort that one out. It's fun. Listen, you know, Twitter is what it is. Guys love to get on there and think that they're experts. I get that. I understand. Everybody's trying to be famous in the world. We got all that.
And he said, yeah, I'm arguing with some guy in North Carolina who has a podcast who thinks he knows about baseball because he has a podcast in North Carolina. And he's trying to tell me that Nick Markakis is good because he has the highest WRC plus on his team.
Well,
oh, that's great.
And to be fair, we're so not stat guys that you had to tell me what WRC plus is.
I know.
I don't know what it stands
that's
for.
That's why it's funny. Yeah.
You just had to tell me that it's pretty good all around stat that determines like the value of a hitter. Okay. All right. So now what does it mean? I honestly have no idea what it means. Like, I'm not joking. Let's see. WRC plus would, I'm trying to guess what it would be. Runs created,
I don't
maybe
even know.
RC?
Runs created, and it takes into account like league averages and ballpark factors,
like,
all that stuff.
This is how far we
it
are.
It is a good stat. Like, it's a good stat. It is a very good catch-all stat.
I'm not bashing advanced stats. I just don't get it. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm sure it works. I'm sure it's good. You know, like,
yeah. I mean, we troll the people that love WRC plus, and here I am being. Being tracked for being a WRC plus guy, but it is a good stat. It is a good catch all stat. Nick Markakis does have the highest on the team, but it doesn't tell the whole story. But it really it's funny because Cakes is not a power guy at all. Obviously, he's a singles and doubles guy, but he has the highest WRC plus on the team. Typically, guys with power have a higher WRC plus.
Yeah.
So it's basically an early April fluke that Nick Markakis. Has the highest WRC plus in the Braves, even though it's September because it's COVID.
Yeah.
He should not have the highest WRC plus, but because he does, I like to point it out to everybody on Twitter.
I look at the back of the baseball card stats as in like the back of a book. Like, I can take a book and look at the blurbs and tell me if I'm probably going to like this book or not. Like, I can look at the back of a guy's baseball card and probably tell me, like, would I like this guy on my team or not? Like, is he worth a darn? Like, okay, yeah. Batting average, RBIs, home runs, that kind of thing. Maybe, you know, strikeouts, wins are on there. Maybe some stolen bases, stuff like that. Okay, man, seems like a pretty good player. Then once you start reading the book, then you figure out a whole lot more. And that's what I equate to, like, WRC plus and all those kind of things. Like, you start digging deeper to find out, like, the minute details of a player. Like, yeah, RBI can dictate, like, tell you who's good and who's not, of course. Like, you can't, like, fall bass-ackwards into 100 RBI in a season. Like, you can take the crappiest player on your team and bat him fourth, and he's not going to just produce 100 RBIs just because he's, you know, batting cleanup. You have to have some talent. There has to be a, you know, certain amount of skill involved with that. But at the same time, RBI is dependent on a lot of other factors. You know, you have to be able to eliminate those factors to tell the whole story. I'm not the type that knocks, like, advanced stat guys just because I don't get it. I trust there's a lot of people smarter than me, and they say advanced stats work. So I'm like, okay, cool, I bet it does.
I knock the one to live and die by the advanced metrics. So there's people that like will tell you that batting average is nothing, and those people I enjoy probably way too much making fun of because because there is nuance there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for example, one of the things I like to do is I like to troll the anti batting average crowd with the fact that Markakis has a higher WRC plus than Ichiro. Like that's hilarious to me because,
and that's statistically true, right? That's a legit fact.
That's 100% fact. And what that says is you're an idiot if you think that WRC plus is you know, the only thing to measure a guy on. You're an idiot because look here, Markakis, who you hate because of WRC plus, has a higher WRC plus than a first ballot just shoo-in Hall of Famer,
a guy who might be the greatest hitter of our lifetimes,
for sure, hands down.
I mean, if
Tony Gwynn,
include
Ichiro, but I
would like Ichiro, the next generation.
Ichiro number one.
Yeah, he's there.
Two.
Tony Gwynn.
Yeah, for sure.
Mark Grace. I mean, but I was partial at the end of the Mark day, Grace, but whatever.
At the end of the day, the fact of the matter is, no matter your flavor of stats, no matter your political affiliation, Nick Markakis out of Young Harris has been superb this year. And so if you, a radio personality in the evening, threw lots of shade at him early in the season, and now someone posts a really funny, and it wasn't even malicious or mean, it was funny, poking fun at you for your bad cakes takes, in my opinion, you got to laugh at that and like retweet it because it's funny. But this guy thinks he's this guy's really serious. This guy does not. he's like dying on this hill. It's fantastic.
You know, that's the thing. That's why baseball, I've always referred to it as the sport of dorks. And it is, because if you got two football guys sitting in a bar and one guy goes, hey, I think the best Deion Sanders, man, best defensive player ever, best cover corner there ever was. He'll take a number one receiver out of the game. He did it for so long. And then he did other things too, like return kickoffs and punts, even played a receiver. He's the best defensive player ever. And the other guy would go, yeah, he was good, but Lawrence Taylor, man, he revolutionized. He's the reason left tackles make the money they do today, because he revolutionized the game and got an edge rush from the outside and showed how valuable rushing the passer can be. And the other guy would go, yeah, you got a good point. He'd be like, yeah, you got a good point too. Deion was pretty awesome. Yeah, Lawrence Taylor was pretty awesome too. Baseball guys sit there and they're like, well, let's come up with a statistical evaluation that will prove once and for all who the greatest defensive third baseman of all time was. Like, well, you're taking this way too far, man. Like the fact that there are books and books and people have made careers off of proving that who's better defensively, Mike Schmidt or Brooks Robinson, or, you know, who's the better pitch framer, Mike Piazza or Pudge Rodriguez? Like, who cares? Like, at the end of the day, like, who cares? Like, it's one thing if you're using it to construct, if you're a general manager for a team and you're using it to construct your team and way your ball club is built, right, especially if you have financial limitations, that's a smart thing for Billy Beane and the A's to get ahead of the curve and do, because they can't spend. They got to find a way to do it because they can't spend like the Yankees. But for the average Joe to get so uptight about advanced stats and who could be better because of some, like,
these aren't the average Joes. JT.
You're right. I forgot. These are not average Joes at all.
The average Joes are the ones hanging out with us, listening to this podcast. The woke Joes. We should start another podcast called The Woke Joes.
Yeah, because we have plenty of free time.
Yeah, we barely have time to do this one. So, what are your thoughts on the deadline, man? First of all, you're not on Twitter, so you didn't see the Twitter meltdown. Twitter.
Oh, I bet. I
as you can imagine, Twitter melted down completely.
Have we gone back to not caring about winning? Is that what happened?
100%. Yeah. The okay. Braves are in first place, but that doesn't matter because Alex Anthopoulos is the worst in the entire world.
I see you guys that Mark Bradley article that I'm sure you guys read right away on the AJC today.
It was really good.
Yeah, he brought up a lot of great points as to why this year, sit pat, like, dude, we're sitting here debating in the group chat whether we should trade our number two prospect for Lance Lynn. And I understand Lance Lynn's having a good year.
Wait, what group chat? Our group chat?
Yeah. Kenny was talking about, like, you know, if we trade Waters, our number two or three prospect, depending on how you look.
In another group chat, I just wanted to check.
Come on. No, I wouldn't. Okay. Hey, I don't have that many friends, so don't worry about that. Yeah, I'm not John Howard over here with like nine different group chats with my 150 friends.
Yeah. Three different political affiliations.
Right. Yeah. But it's Lance Lynn. Let's be honest. He's having a good year, but dude, really? Come on. You don't know what the future of Drew Waters is, and you know what Lance Lynn is. So yeah, he brought up a good point that there's three teams right now in the National League above 500. Three. the Dodgers are on pace for in a regular season would be 117 wins, and they have a 17% chance per Vegas of winning the World Series. That tells you Vegas is anticipating a batshit crazy postseason with everything going nuts the way it is. There's going to be teams with a losing record making the playoffs. That's going to happen. And then all you got to do to win the World Series is go 13-9. And if you think that doesn't happen, the Washington Nationals did it last year. They won 5 elimination games.
There you go. 13-9.
That's it. You think you got to get red hot and win like all these games. 13-9. That's doable for any team in the world.
Yeah, I think there's a term for that. Here it is. Baseball's weird.
Baseball is strange. It's weird. And you just don't know what this team is. You're only a handful of games into the season. This is not your regular trade deadline. So, God bless the Padres. But I saw what they gave up, and I would not be okay giving up the same for Mike Clevinger, who last he pitches for the Cleveland Indians, but he's not exactly Bob Feller. I mean, he's a decent guy. Needs to cut his hair.
I'm a fan. I don't know about... I kept seeing Andy Harris and some other social justice warriors say that he would be a bad addition to the Braves because of his, I guess, his attitude or something, or maybe he did some, maybe he made some mistakes in his past, which I
think
can't,
he's done drugs.
Which I can't relate to that because I've never made any mistakes in my past.
He was wearing I saw a picture of him I think it was you that put out there that he's wearing a Grateful Dead beanie, and
yeah,
I'm a Grateful Dead fan, so I can imagine that he's done. Yeah.
I like him. I think he'd be cool.
No, I'm not saying. Yeah, what I'm saying is,
I was like all for it.
I don't think Mike Clevinger is like, oh yeah, now we're gonna nail it in the postseason because we have Mike Clevinger.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree.
He's a good pitcher, but he's an unknown quantity in a lot of respects too. So,
yeah. Look, the Braves are in first place. Well, first of all, let's talk about it sensibly because that's what we do here on Knockomination. Okay. We talk about things sensibly. So let's talk about the bad first. Other than Max Fried, all of the other starting pitchers in the Braves have forgotten how to pitch for the most part. I'm not watching the game right now because I'm podcasting with you, but I guess Tommy Malone is taking them out. I don't know. How's he
Ian
doing?
Anderson. Ian Anderson tonight.
Ian Anderson. Okay.
Yeah.
So we got Ian Anderson and Max Fried.
Yep.
Okay, great.
Tommy Malone, not what I wanted to see.
Max, right.
But
the pitching other than Fried and – am I on a delay? Cause,
no, I don't know.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, cool. Other than Max Fried, yeah, I think I'm on a delay. I think when I talk, it takes a few seconds, and then you come back and you respond. It's kind of weird. Maybe it's the internet connection. I don't know. But – what I'm saying is, other than Max Fried, the pitching's been kind of crappy. So, because of that, Braves fans wanted pitching during the trade deadline. The Braves got who other than Tommy Malone, who we've never heard of. We had to Google him. And because of that, we had fun talking about him like he is Bob Feller on Twitter, because it just makes us laugh when we trigger Braves bloggers, because we're 13-year-olds. Anyways,
I told you guys Tommy Malone pitched for the Brewers. That's the only thing I knew about him is that he pitched for the Brewers.
Yeah.
And that he also doesn't walk anybody. And I think that's, he doesn't walk.
There you go.
Okay, at least he doesn't walk. Yeah, but apparently a lot of guys hit the ball really hard, really long ways off of him. But at least he doesn't walk anybody. Right. So that's good. But again, the guy was traded in the one day and then had to pitch for a new team that night. So not ideal circumstances. I'm not ready to shut the door on Tommy Malone just yet.
Yeah.
Josh, are you okay? You went dark.
Yeah, I'm still here. My lamp just went out, literally. Hang on one second. Turn on this light up here.
Josh records on the side of a mountain in Appalachia, and apparently he does it by candlelight.
My desk lamp just went out. So because of that, Braves fans wanted pitching. He got Tommy Malone. And by he, I mean Alex Anthopoulos. And then the next day is trade deadline day. And so people thought the Braves were going to get Clevinger. I kind of thought they were going to get him just because when I see far left Braves Twitter crying about whatever it is, typically the Braves do the opposite of whatever they're mad about. And so when I saw them crying about how cheap the Braves are, I was like, oh my gosh, they're actually about to get Clevinger, you know? And they didn't get Clevinger. But here's the thing. Cole Hamels is about to make his return in the next couple of weeks, which is like picking up, I mean, a badass, you know, starter. It just is, you know? I mean, it's not 2009 Cole Hamels, but I mean, he's pretty good.
Cole Hamels, the Metro Marlboro man, as I like to refer to him.
I like that. He looks like a gay Marlboro man. Yeah.
Yeah, right, right. I thought they were going to get Clevinger because, I'm going to call somebody out here, Kevin McAlpin literally said on his praise podcast, and Kevin, I do not mean to knock anybody in a nighttime slot on a sports talk radio because Guy's Not Out is a tremendous show, so you're excluded from that. But Kevin Malone literally said, I think they're going to get Clevinger. And then he had to come back and eat his words today and talk about how bad he is at predictions. But my thought is, like, does Kevin know something? You know, Kevin knows people. Kevin's connected. I mean,
they don't know anything. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, they don't know anything.
But Kevin knows Kent Brown, and Kent Brown knows everything. So I thought maybe that was the connection. Maybe there was a little inside info. He literally said, I think they're getting Clevinger, like word for word. And then today he had to come back and be like, yeah, I suck at making predictions. Sorry.
That's awesome.
So I was like, maybe we are. And then like an hour later, John Howard tweets us about shows us the rundown from MLB about the big haul they got from the Padres. So that's the only reason I thought. I was like, I was holding out hope. I was waiting for the text that we got Clevinger. But yeah, I mean, I'm totally... Honestly, like, standing pat, and this trade deadline, like, what were the massive names dealt that we weren't a part of the party? Like, it's not like we were the ones standing alone on an island saying we're not doing anything. There was not a lot of action because this is not a real trade deadline. Like, I don't even know why they had a trade deadline this year.
Right.
Like, that's insane.
It's a 60-game season. There's going to be an asterisk. There's no fans. Honestly, it doesn't matter. Hamels is coming back. Ozzie Albies is about to come back. This lineup is insane. They don't even need Albies, but when he does come back, it's going to be just a little injection of, extra nitro fuel.
How's his WRC Plus looking for Albies? Is it good?
You know, I don't even know. I don't even know what that stat means. But then you look at the... And then everyone was really pissed that the Braves didn't trade Ender Inciarte. That was another thing. All of the thought leaders of Braves Twitter were tweeting, the Braves didn't trade Ender Inciarte. Imagine not trading Ender Inciarte.
He sucks. Why didn't you trade him? I don't know. Maybe because he sucks. So it's really hard to trade a player that sucks.
I don't think they understand that. Like, so do these Braves bloggers not know that the other team has to want the player? Like,
MLB Network. They have the internet. They can look at the player's stats. They have to want him. You can't just trade him. Trade for what?
The Padres have the internet?
I guess. What do you want? Kerry Leitenberg him? Like for a dozen bats and two dozen balls? Like, what do you want for him?
Yeah. Yeah, so they're pissed. They don't even think. They're like raging seven-year-olds. The Braves didn't trade Ender. It's like, what if nobody wanted Ender? You idiots.
Yeah, what are you gonna trade him for? You trade him for a 19-year-old lefty that's in single A in, like, you know, Des Moines right now. That's what you're going to get. I mean, he has no trade value. He has no redeemable trade value right now.
And oh, man.
Look, so right now you got to bite the bullet. As long as he can contribute for this team in some meaningful way, whatever ways he can, then he's part of this ball club. But you can't just go out there and trade. This is not a video game. You can't just set where the computer has to accept the trade and then you just trade them. That doesn't work. This is real life.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
So there are a lot of upset people. All the while, the Atlanta Braves, Snickers Atlanta Braves, are in first place. Yeah.
Again, it's amazing.
In a 60-game season.
This dumb potato of a man that's a 40-year lifer with the Braves. He was a janitor at one point. He sold popcorn at Fulton County Stadium, and now here he is, all the way to the top. Sling Blade himself is managing the Braves, like he's just the dumb nephew of the owner, and just like, oh, give it to him. Like, he's Tommy Boy. Like, his dad died, so he inherited the business, and here he is running things, trying to sell brake pads for Callahan Auto Parts. It's amazing. They think this guy's a toenail, and he's about to win three straight division championships.
Do you think people just want to be mad? Do you think they just want to be angry? Like they
yes, they do. Because this guy's about to win 3 straight division titles, and people still insist that he's dumb as a rock and doesn't know anything. He has worked in baseball almost twice for one franchise. He's worked for the Braves for almost twice as most of the guys have been alive.
Manager of the
year.
For
almost 40 years. Yes. He's good. Now, he's not, but he's not the young upstart sabermetrics guy. He's not the Kevin Cash of the Rays. No, he's an old. He's an old school baseball guy, and they hate that. They think that's dumb.
Yeah,
that he goes with his gut and he goes with his heart and he loves his players and he coaches them up and he pumps them up and he encourages them. Maybe that's why we have so many come from behind wins. Have you noticed we have a bunch of come from behind wins?
I think we have
win a lot of games.
I think we have the most since Snit took helm.
Do you think that has something to do with the guy coaching these guys not to give up and not to give in and keep playing hard? Do you think that has something to do with it?
Our buddy, what's his name? Crap, I forgot his name. Tweeted about it. The most last at bat.
Yeah.
Wins or something? Is that what it is?
It's enough for me to never turn off a Braves game because they could be down 5-0 in the seventh, and I'm like,
Corey McCartney. We'll see. That's who tweeted that. Yeah.
Yeah, Corey McCartney, who, you know, has written a book about the Braves. So he knows a little bit of stuff. You know, right. He's a pretty good guy. Dude, Snicker's kind of good at his job. And he goes about it in a different way than some other coaches do. But he's that old school little league coach that claps and tells you good eye when you take a ball for a close call there and tells you to choke up on 2 strikes and encourages you the whole – he's Bobby Cox. Mm. And people hate that. And they would – golly – If you young kids were around to watch Bobby Cox, you would have hated him too. And all he did was coach into a first ballot Hall of Fame career. And he's like top 5 all time in managerial wins. You guys would have hated him.
Yeah, they would have hated him. They do hate him. They talk about him like he was an idiot. And they think 14 straight doesn't mean anything. So
I mean, if he was smart, he'd be number 1 all time in wins. Wouldn't be like 4th or wherever he is. You know, idiot. Moron.
I just think people want to be mad. Not everybody, but just a certain type of person.
Maybe it's because it's the sport of dorks, and you want to be smarter than everybody else, and you want to show off like you have the contrarian opinion on everything.
Do you think it's spiritual?
Probably. I mean, like they're lacking something, so they have to prove themselves in some other realm. I don't know. Did Brian Snitker go walk on water? And they say, well, can he swim?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, what's wrong with you? I don't know. There is this... There's something about baseball fans, like baseball guy, soccer guy is very similar. Baseball guy has to be the smartest guy in the room. You know, like that's public opinion, but let me tell you what the real truth is. If you dig deeper, he's actually not good. If you look deeper, he's actually not a good manager. Like, really? Like, sometimes there is no digging deeper. Sometimes it is what it is. You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes Nick Markakis is good at hitting doubles and Brian Snicker is good at winning baseball games. And that's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum. Yeah. Were you going Tupac or Bruce Hornsby there?
Bruce Hornsby, honestly. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Tupac, you got to go more of a rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat. That's the way it is.
Did you ever listen to the Bruce Hornsby, Ricky Skaggs album? It's interesting.
No, that is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Super interesting. Yeah.
I would check it out. I've not thought of Bruce Hornsby in a minute, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Anyways. Well, I guess the trade deadline didn't mean that much to me because it's a 60-game season and the Braves are in first, so I don't really care. But it meant a lot to some other people. Yeah. Also,
people get uptight about things.
Also, if I was like a 19-year-old Braves prospect and the Braves drafted me, And I checked out Braves Twitter and saw how like 38-year-olds tweeted about me. I would tell the Atlanta Braves, I'd be like, hey, thank you for this opportunity, but I think I'm gonna find another career.
If you dig deeper at this guy's sophomore year of high school, he's actually not that good. Like, look at his sophomore year of high school.
These are grown men. Like if I'm a 19-year-old and I see how these men tweet about me, I would be freaked out.
I'll be honest with you. This happens in a lot of other sports. We just don't know about it because we're not paying attention. But
oh, really?
As you know, I'm one of the nerds that subscribes to the UGA message boards. So right, I go on there and debate the finer points of University of Georgia athletics with strangers on the internet because I'm a well-adjusted male and that's what we do. And they're literally talking about the star tight end that we have coming in. He's fresh, college freshman, right? He's from outside of Las Vegas, five-star, highly regarded, like 6'6", 250-pound dude. And they're like, yeah, you know, the coaches are dogging him. Apparently he doesn't want to work hard in practice, you know? I just don't think he's going to pan out. Dude hasn't, like, he's been taking college classes a week. It's an adjustment period. Like, maybe he's a little bit lazy. Maybe he's not used to this yet. Like, you have to work a lot harder in college football than you do in high school, especially when you're 6'5", 260. You don't have to work that hard in high school football to be good. And I'm like, guys, I think he'll be okay. Like, they're worried that he's not going to pan out and be, like, an all-conference player. It's been a week. We don't play a game for another 3 weeks. He's still a freshman. Give it time. But everybody's got to make a you have to make a decision, like, right away. Like, there has to be a verdict right away. You know? There. Nobody allows time for just, hey, let it marinate. Let's see.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, let's see how it plays out is just not a thing you can do anymore in sports. It's crazy.
Yeah, and baseball's a marathon, not a sprint. Because a lot of people wanted to give up on Austin Riley about a month ago.
Yeah, he's been playing real well the last couple of weeks. Austin Riley, man, look, when he hits, he reminds me a lot of – the easy comp is Troy Gloss because the body type. Like, he looks like Troy Gloss, plays third base.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Ryan Klesko in that, like, if he touches the ball, it leaves the bat hard. You just got to make sure he touches the ball more often. You know? And once he figures that out, like, you can't replicate that power, that straight that he has. Like, he's a country boy from Mississippi.
Young kid.
He's only like 21. He's only got shaved. Could he grow a beard? Like, if he had to, could he? I don't think he can. I think he's that young.
I think you're right.
But he's got power that you can't replicate. You can't just get that. You can teach the rest. You know? You can teach to, you know, learn to lay off sliders. Watch out for that 0-2 slider. It's not hittable. Don't swing. But, man, when he touches it, it goes. So, glad he's turning a corner.
Me too, Bubba. Me too. Hey, we got some questions from the Non-Combination listeners. And I thought we would try to answer some of them. Are you ready?
Let's roll.
Big Chop Man, our buddy Cameron from over
Ray Traylor
over at Chatting Average Podcast, which I bought their shirt, their Luke Jackson is Elite shirt, as many of y'all should too. Cam asks, what's the best Keith Whitley song?
Cam gets us a lot.
He does.
The easy answer here is I'm No Stranger to the Rain.
Right.
But I feel like that's too easy.
Right.
I'm going with a little gem called I'm Gonna Hurt Her on the Radio. And it's, I don't know, you might not be familiar with that one, but it's a nice little ditty about girl broke his heart. So you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna write a song about it. It's gonna be a damn hit. She's gonna hate it. And I'm gonna hurt her on the radio.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I'm going with. What about you?
I like, Miami. Miami.
Yeah. For the pun aspect, you know, it's fun songwriting there. You know, Keith Whitley died. You know how old, don't look it up, but you know how old he was when he died?
I guess 30. Was he 30?
33. Man. I could have sworn that man was like 48. Yeah. Like, he just had an old soul about him.
Hard living.
Dude was barely in his 30s, man. Mm-hmm. Like, and died in the craziest way. Like, just absolutely, like,
didn't he drink himself to death?
Yeah, like downing like bottles of vodka, like in the morning before like playing around the golf.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it's like craziness, you know, just insane. He was like a party with Keith Whitley one night.
Yeah, I know, right?
He's a Kentuckian, right?
Yeah, he was a bluegrass guy early on and played with Ralph Stanley and those guys. Yeah, what?
You know, here's the thing: if baseball guy got a hold of bluegrass, they would say Ralph Stanley wasn't that good at bluegrass. Flat and Scruggs were overrated.
Right, yeah. That's sad. He was married to Lori Morgan, who doesn't look like the same person now. Have you seen current Lori Morgan, my friend?
I have not. I did hear her on the radio today, actually. But no, I have not. What's she looking like now?
Well, she got some work done about 3 years ago, I'd say now. And just some Botox and like a facelift, dude. And like, and what's crazy is like, I mean, it's her body. And so, if she's happy, that's great. But I'm very selfish. It's all about me. And I thought she looked beautiful before. Lori Morgan was gorgeous and she was aging like fine wine. I mean, up until like 2010, 2012, she looked like a, kind of an older-ish, just beautiful woman. I mean, she's gorgeous. And then all of a sudden, she got Botox, man. Ruined the whole thing.
I hate it when older women do that and look like Cher is the prime example, man. You go back and look at Cher when she was
Cher's
with
beautiful.
Greg Allman. Yeah. Dude, Cher was a smoke show, dude. When she was with Greg Allman back in the day, got engaged right here in Macon, Georgia, by the way, at the Downtown Grill. But nowadays, like, she looks the same. And I'm like, you shouldn't look the same because you're, like, 75. That's weird. But Cher at 25, oh, my gosh. Like, total knockout.
Yeah. Also, low-key, cute, early on, John Anderson. Young John Anderson, very handsome guy.
Yeah, he's also gone downhill. I think lack of work is John Anderson's problem. Maybe he could have at least one operation.
Yeah.
He looks probably. A little weathered over the years.
All right, next question comes from Jarrett at Jay Spall, our boy, our Liberty alum. I think Jarrett said he's a Liberty alum.
The Flames.
So shout out to Jarrett. I think Jarrett tweeted in solidarity with us when we made fun of Jerry Falwell. So a lot of good solid Liberty people out there who I feel bad for because they just had a bad president.
Yeah. Man, look, if you never had a sex party with your pool boy, you ain't living, son. Just saying.
Okay.
I wonder if you think Hugh Freeze was, he coaches there now, and he had the trouble getting fired from Ole Miss with the hookers and whatnot.
My nieces went to Liberty. I got nothing but love for Liberty. I kind of separate
wondering if the football
well
coach came over for the sex parties,
Yeah. So. I don't know. Anyways, Jared asks, so when making a grilled cheese, are you a butter on inside and outside while toasting it, triangle or rectangle cut?
Huh. First off, triangle cut is the only way to go, is triangle cut with grilled cheese. I mean, rectangle cut's grilled cheese. That's insane. I don't think I've ever really tried butter on the inside.
Same.
I let the cheese stand for itself. Cheese stands alone on the inside. Mm-hmm. And then butter the outside, flip it once or twice, boom, press it down, and there you're good to go. Press it with a spatula. The key is don't just go with like a Kraft cheese single. That's cheese product. It's not even real cheese. Spend a little extra dollars. Go to the deli. Get them to cut you like a half pound of cheddar or Swiss or provolone or whatever. It costs like $4 for like a half pound of cheese. It's nothing big. $3.50. And the results are extreme. Go with the real cheese, not the cheese product. Use that, and maybe use like two cheeses on there. Go with like a provolone and a cheddar on your grilled cheese. Your kids will thank you later. It'll take it out of this world for sure.
Yeah, I like the butter on the outside. I've never done the butter on the inside. So I guess, are you saying you put the butter on the inside with the cheese? I want to know more about that.
I think that's what he's saying. Like he puts a thing of butter, but... I think I just butter the outside because that's always touching the, So that's enough. That's good. I won't argue more butter, though. He's probably got a point. Like, the more butter, the better. Paula Deen made a career on that. So.
That's right. Next question comes from JD at JD underscore 0013 tweets. What color is the beef license plate on the front of Ken Hendrick's truck? I'm going to say white license plate, beef and red.
I'm going like an orange. Like it's orange with black lettering.
Ooh.
It just says
like Tennessee or something?
No, but just like a big, beef.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess that's really a good way for Ken to let the cows know when he's patrolling the pasture, like who's in charge here.
Right.
It says beef on the front of my truck, son. You know who runs this pasture.
Isn't it funny, like when we go visit Ken and hop in his truck and he drives us around the farm, like how city we feel like compared to a lot of my friends that I know in Boone, they're such freaking like loser yuppies. I am like a country boy,
right?
Which is hilarious. Right. Which, you know, and then when I go to Ken's and I hop in that truck with you, I'm like, we are a bunch of city slicker losers.
I mean,
that thing is dirty. There's bolts, there's tools, there's like, you know, you can't use the cup holder because there's nuts and bolts and screws in there that he uses, right. You know.
I don't even know what those were. Yeah.
He's never washed that truck.
I'm glad he didn't have, hey man, hand me the sprocket. And I'd be like, what the hell's a sprocket? I don't know.
What?
I was up to like 3 drinking on the front porch, and now it's like 8, and we're like, it's hot. It's July 4th. I'm in the back of this non-air-conditioned pickup truck. Bouncing all around this pasture. I felt like the lawyer from Jurassic Park that's just like in the back of the Jeep. I'm like, get me out of here. This is dangerous. I was like green. He's like, you okay back there? I'm like, just roll down the window. Just need some air. Oh, I'm dying. Man, I never felt so cityfied in my life, man. I just wanted like concrete roads. Is that too much to ask for? Like some civilization?
Some air conditioning. You know?
Yeah, right? Oh, man. Kids, when Ken has a bad day at the office, it is unlike our bad days at the office.
Yeah, y'all don't even know.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like, I made a proposal today. I put on my, you know, PowerPoint. And then, like, I went and met with a client today for about 15 minutes talking to him. And I was like, oh, it's a tough day. Ken's out there, like, cutting hay. It's 10 o'clock. His hands are bleeding. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a bigger man than me, for sure.
Man. All right, next question. Comes from our boy Trails at JBAY3R. He tweets us, after being voted best Twitter in MLB, why does it feel like we are the worst?
Is he talking about Braves Twitter in general?
I guess he is.
After okay, yeah, because we were voted in like preseason like best fan base, right?
Oh, were we? Okay.
Yeah, because all that is a stupid click thing. All you do is get people to click, and you're going one-on-one against some other team, and that's...
Right,
we can come together for some dumb little exercise like that, but then when it comes to like...
Well, it's just numbers. So it's like, here's how to answer that question. So just because Luke Bryan sells the most concert tickets does not mean he's the best country singer. Quantity does not equal... quality, my friend.
Just because China has the most amount of people, I do not recommend moving there. For instance.
Right.
By the way, I listened to Luke Bryan's latest album. I think we're giving him a little hard time. I think he's better than we act.
Oh, please stop. Moving on. Brian Fraser at Brian K. Fraser. I like Brian Fraser. He's got a Georgia Bulldog Abbey. He's got the salt and pepper beard. Got the Dale sunglasses. Kind of he's got this Intimidator look. The reflection glasses, you know. Looks like a gangster. He asks us what the best 90s country song is. Best 90s country song. Man, that's a... Dude, I don't even know how to answer that, man. There's so many of them. I'm going to have to go with the best 90s country song. I mean, we can only pick one.
Yeah.
If you had to pick one.
If I had to pick one, as far as does it hold up over time? Did it mean a lot when it came out? Like, did it register on the charts? Was it a hit? Chattahoochee, Alan Jackson.
Solid pick.
To me. Like that's just holds up now. It comes on. You know all the words to this day. You've never forgotten a single lyric. We'd be on our deathbeds, and you can still recite every single word of that song. And when we were coming of age in the great state of Georgia, it was a big deal to have a song about Georgia in the charts. And it was kind of like, it was a cultural thing. Like it had an impact. That's why runner up, maybe like Achy Breaky Heart for the same reasons.
I can't meet you there, but Chattahoochee, solid pick. The music video of Chattahoochee. And I mean, there's no stunt double, buddy. He's out there knee boarding. In his tight jeans.
Yeah, buddy. I used to kneeboard myself. I grew up on a lake and kneeboarded, wakeboarding and stuff, and skiing.
He might have been, man, was he skiing or kneeboarding? He might have been skiing.
I think you're talking about the video for Summertime Blues where he was skiing.
No, he was skiing in Chattahoochee, right?
On the river?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know he wasn't Summertime Blues.
It might not have been on the river.
Summertime Blues.
Okay. We'll have
Summertime Blues. He was Devil's Game. We'll have to YouTube that later.
Someone check this for us. I think that the music video in Chattahoochee, he is skiing. Probably not in a river, but nonetheless. For me, I'm going to have to go with Queen of My Double Wide Trailer, Sammy Kershaw.
That is my ringtone when my wife calls.
Nice.
That's a great song. Great storytelling. Fun.
Yeah.
Polyester curtains and a redwood deck. Man.
The Charlie Daniels of the torque wrench might be like the coolest line ever.
we went to Ken's, we went to Livonia, and we went to Gumlog Barbecue and Fish House.
Right.
And I said, man, this is like Murphy's Restaurant in Queen of My Double Wide Trailer. Like, this is exactly what it is like. It's exactly what it is. It's a place you go pick up women in Livonia.
I mean, here's the line. She said he rebuilds engines and his name is Earl. He's the Charlie Daniels of the torque wrench. I whispered, honey, let's just go home and have some onion rings and watch TV. I mean, that is
Sammy,
home right there.
Sammy Kershaw lived it, too. If you look at pictures of him, he is the epitome of double wide, onion rings, you know, that kind of living. Yeah. He definitely had a redwood deck on his double wide, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Sammy Kershaw. Man, love that guy.
He was the type of white trash, redneck, country singer that would wear, like, high-top sneakers with his Wranglers. He wouldn't even go cowboy boots.
Right. He would wear, like, you're right, sneakers, Wranglers, and, like, a Dallas Cowboy starter jacket.
Yeah. And that's a Marlboro, a denim Marlboro cap.
Right. That he won from his Marlboro points.
Marlboro points, and Marlboro Miles got him that, and he's got those cool
Marlboro
sunglasses.
Miles?
With the,
do they still do that?
I don't know. My dad quit smoking about 15 years ago.
Dude,
so
my dad.
Sure.
My dad. He would, this is terrible. My dad would get so many Marlboro Miles. I still got his cooler, a Marlboro cooler that he won because of Marlboro Miles. I swear to God. So embarrassing.
This was a real thing, man. And I think my dad, I had terrible. To ask him. He's listening to the show, so he'll tell me. But I think he had like a denim Marlboro jacket back in the day.
Marlboro and Miles.
If I remember correctly, he was wearing it to the 1992 Hooters 500. In pictures, and it was a shockingly good-looking denim Marlboro jacket that he was wearing to, which was Richard Petty's last race and Jeff Gordon's first race, and one of my dad's claims to fame is that I was there.
Oh, man, that's great. Jimmy Dingers at Robert Trafton 16.
Jimmy Dingers?
Yeah. I don't know if that's his real name, but that's what he goes by.
How's that not a baseball nickname? Like, who's got a nickname like Jim Edmonds should have been known as Jimmy Dingers throughout his career. That's a good name.
I agree. Jimmy Dingers asks us on Twitter, does wearing a mask prevent the spread of cooties?
It don't prevent the spread of anything. It doesn't really prevent my fart from reaching your nose. It does nothing but make you socially acceptable when you go out because you're a good citizen. They want to give you a little pat on the head and following orders. Doesn't do anything.
And that's the damn truth. That's why y'all are listening to the Knock On Nation podcast show. But also, if you get your cootie shot, I think before the age of 14, you're good. I think forever.
Circle, dot, dot. Yeah. I got my cootie shot for life.
So as long as you got your cootie shot, you should be good, totally good from COVID. So you don't need to wear a mask if you've had your cootie shot, because I think cootie shot covers COVID and cooties. Anyways, going on. Gus asks, Gus is at Lion_Luca, who is wearing a mask in his Abbey. Gus asks, should Young Harris have its own place in the Baseball Hall of Fame? Absolutely. Absolutely.
I do believe that none other than Hank Aaron used to sit on the board of directors at Young Harris. I only know that because one of my best friends is a former collegiate athlete, played soccer at Young Harris. So, it already has a flirtation with Baseball Hall of Famers. So not only is the greatest Braves hitter of all time associated with Young Harris, but the second greatest Braves hitter of all time played there at Young Harris. So
it's amazing.
I think so.
Yeah, I've been to Cooperstown, and I would definitely recommend them look into this for sure. So, because you know the museum, it's really cool. Tell us the story of baseball. I don't know how you tell the story of baseball right now without Young Harris. You know, so I feel like Young Harris should be there next to the. There's like a nice like Negro Leagues exhibit. They have a really cool Abbott and Costello who's on first little exhibit. So maybe next to that, you know, I don't know. But yeah, Young Harris should definitely be in the Hall of Fame for sure. Yeah. Should have its own exhibit. I'm going to tweet them about that later on. So great question, Gus. Ashland at Braves Ashland tweets, who wins in a fight, Ashland or Bryce Harper? And why is it Ashland? I want to throw some shade at Ashland and kind of be like, Bryce Harper would kick your ass. But honestly, I think Ashland would take Bryce Harper. Am I right?
It's shocking to me that she would make a question about herself. But I also agree because Bryce Harper is a total tool bag. And his new hair, his new long hair that he's got this year.
Does he have highlights or is that natural?
It could be natural. Like, he's that kind of guy who's so hateable that he even has natural highlights. Like, it just comes through.
What a tool
bag. It makes me miss his stupid short hair. Like, you know, like, now he's trying to look gritty, tough. I'm like, come on, dude. Because he got busted with the double hair dryers, you know, getting his poofy hair all done. Oh, now he's got the long, dirty hair. He's like trying to be cool with it. It makes me miss like the old douchey looking Bryce Harper. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, Bryce Harper clearly has never been in a fight. Now, Bryce Harper's dad looks like he's been in a few fights, a few throwdowns, arguments at the gym.
Does. Mm-hmm.
Over like, hey man, you've been in the tanning booth too long.
I would not
let
mess
me in.
Mr. Harper.
He looks, Harper. I mean, the guy wears Affliction t-shirts. Of course, he's tough. You know, duh. But Bryce himself, not at all.
Yeah, fake Mormon Bryce Harper would probably get his ass kicked. So, he shaves his chest. He shaves his chest hair. You know, and it's just like. And I'm pretty sure it's not a Mormon thing because I got Mormon friends that are kind of hairy, and so I don't. That's just a Bryce Harper thing.
Also, Ashlyn, I'm messing with you. Relax, I'm just picking on you. I shaved my chest one time and instantly regretted it, like later that day, because I was like just itching like I wanted to see what it'd be like. Maybe it'll make me look skinner. It doesn't. Yeah. It makes you look fatter. And then I was itchy all over.
Mm-hmm.
No bueno.
In 2010, I made a bet with two of my work buddies that if the Braves didn't make it to the postseason or something, that I would shave a tomahawk in my chest hair. And there are pictures of this on the internet.
You've got a lot of chest hair too, man. So
I really do. Yeah,
it worked very well with you.
It was a tomahawk. And,
did you shave the tomahawk into the chest hair, mm-hmm. or did you shave around the chest hair so
it.
There was okay? Yeah. So there's just a tomahawk.
I had a tomahawk made of chest hair. Yeah.
Can you just do that full time?
Honestly, I thought about it, but then I got married. You know,
Do it in season. Like you can grow it out in the off season, and then you know, opening day, get a fresh shave, keep it up for the season.
I'll think about it.
I think it'd be pretty cool.
Next question. Branson Davis at Branson Davis 7 asked us, why don't you follow me? My tweets are gold. And we have followed him. We followed him immediately. Wow. And he did not disappoint. Branson Davis at Branson Davis 7, quality tweeter. He has 23 followers right now. So if you're listening to this, his bio says, follower of Jesus, go Duke and go Braves. I endorse these things. Ugh. And so follow Branson Davis on Twitter. Seems like a great guy.
I don't know. Duke basketball. Come on, loser. This is an easy cheer for Duke basketball. Be a Duke football fan if you want to prove yourself to me.
He looks like a good guy.
I'm not saying he'd probably get laid
in his life. Seems happy. Loves. I find that people that love Jesus are just like not miserable twat waffles on the internet. It's just something I've noticed.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably why it's endured this long.
I didn't think about it that way. Wow. Johnny Late tweets, at Keeks_66, tweets, do you think AA knows what he's doing, or should we replace him with Dave Stewart? That's a great question.
Okay, I like the troll there at the end with Dave Stewart, who we...
fleeced.
Fleeced! For Dansby and Ender.
Yeah.
How's Shelby Miller doing this year, by the way? Let's
Man, is he still playing? I feel bad for that guy.
No idea. Yeah. No, I think he's making a joke about all the Braves Twitter that thinks AA is an idiot. Like, AA is a former executive of the year. He knows what he's doing. He's pretty good at his job. He's built the Braves into a current contender with a window to win approximately about the next 8 or 9 years. So he's okay. So I think he's just joking there. What's Dave Stewart doing these days? Is he even still around? Is he in?
I don't know. What a lot of young kids don't know, like this guy, he seems kind of young. You know, we're kind of old-ish in baseball terms. We're in our mid-30s here. But what's funny about that is all the young kids on Braves Twitter just know Dave Stewart from when he got fleeced. You know, they know the GM Dave Stewart. I know. I'm 10 years old. I'm watching like Saturday morning. They used to have like baseball shows on Saturday mornings.
This Week in Baseball, man.
This Week in Baseball.
Mel Allen, yeah.
Yeah, I'm watching that, and I'm watching like Dave Stewart teach kids how to throw his forkball, which was a sinker back in the day. And he had this Fu Manchu, and he looked just badass, and he played for the A's, and the A's were badass. And so when I was a kid, Dave Stewart was a total 80-grade badass. And now he's like this meek, just, I don't know, weird, like, soft-spoken goober. But when I was a kid, like, yeah. Dave Stewart was a badass. Like, same thing with Don Mattingly, right? Donnie Baseball.
When
we were kids, yes. Donnie Baseball, like, 80-grade, just manly man, like, mustache, just awesome. And now, just, he's a total pussy.
Oh, yeah, he sucks. He's the worst. Donnie Baseball. For one thing, Donnie Baseball. Like, you don't get a nickname like that.
Yeah, and you don't get to shave your mustache off, you douchebag. You don't. You know what I mean? You're Donnie Baseball. You do not get to shave your mustache off.
Yeah, I think. Does he have highlights? I think Don Mattingly
dude,
has.
Dude, he does. Yes.
Dude. Living in Miami will do that to you, buddy. That happens. It happens.
What
it
a tool bag.
I know. And if Donnie Baseball,
a lot of these guys used to be cool. Joe Girardi was kind of a tough catcher guy, you know? I
mean, Joe Girardi was a man's man.
Yeah. And now he's a total twat. What has happened?
I think it's because they're managing baseball teams that are rivals of our baseball team. So we just don't like them.
Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts was a badass. And now
the 04 Red Sox would not have happened without Dave Roberts.
Exactly. And now he's like, Oh, so and so has a hangnail. We got to take him out during a no hitter, you know? Oh, we got to care about their feelings. It's all about the emotional integrity of, you know?
I don't know, man. I've never let my son manage a baseball team. Brian Snicker saves it for the rest of these guys. He hasn't forgotten who he is, where he comes from.
Same with Terry Francona, I feel like.
Oh, Francona is in my list of top 10 sports dudes I want to sit down and have a few beers with. Like, he's on that list. Like, if I'm going to the bar to meet up with Tito Francona, and we're going to have a few rounds of beers, maybe some wings, like, I'm excited. He's definitely in that list of top 10 guys I could do that with.
Yeah.
Because he has cool stories. Dude managed Michael Jordan in Birmingham. Just a fun, likable guy. Baseball dude. Wasn't that great of a player. I think that's part of it, too, is when you're not that great of a player, you are that much better as a manager.
It's like Ron Washington. You know, Snicker didn't make it out of the minors. Snicker was drafted, am I thinking about Randy Engel? Randy Engel played for App State.
I don't think Snicker. Snicker never made the majors.
No, he didn't. He never made it. No, neither did Randy Engel. But I think Snick was drafted. I think he was. Yeah, I think he was a player. Yeah. Bobby Cox. He sucked.
Hey, played third base for the Yankees for like 6 weeks.
Yeah. All the crappy players make great managers, except for Joe Torre.
True. I mean, Joe Girardi.
Joe Torre was
former All-Star. Sucks. Don Mattingly, you know, borderline Hall of Famer. Sucks as a manager. Joe Torre is probably the best. Yeah, because a Hall of Fame manager, no doubt, and really, really, really darn good player for our Atlanta Braves.
Yeah. Last question comes from Hayden Tucker at Hat21 Tucker. Hayden asks, who would win a contest between Josh, JT, and Ken in the following categories? Pitching, home run derby. He said 250-foot fence.
What does that even mean?
I think he's giving us. He's saying we're not strong enough to hit an over a normal. It's probably true.
Okay.
Fielding grounders, running a race. He says I'm talking about current, not 12 years ago. Like that would matter.
Current. Okay. I'll go ahead and pitching, say I'm winning. I'm winning the running.
You're winning the running. You do have JT.
You see my legs, dude.
Y'all like. I'm not trying to make you feel weird, JT. Honestly, you're my brother. But JT has the best calves I've ever seen. It's weird, dude. It's weird. He has these amazing legs. He doesn't work out. Do you work out at all? Do you run at all?
No.
You don't do anything.
No. I can't run. I'm too flat-footed to run. It hurts my feet.
My Uncle Danny. You have my Uncle Danny's calves. My Uncle Danny ran track in college and high school. And my dad did too a little bit. And so both of them actually, my dad and my Uncle Danny, they haven't run since like 1982, but they still have these beefy calves, yep. As you do. It's weird, man.
It's just genetic. My dad is 58 years old, and my kids dared him to do a gainer off the diving board. And he put a video up on Facebook, him at 58, still knocking a gainer off the diving board. Don't work out. It's just genetic. So I've got running. Everything else, y'all got me. I can get you in running, but throwing, no. Home runs. I'd have to go with Ken just for the, you know, he does more with his body than we do. Right. So I'm thinking like raw power, you know. Mm-hmm. Ken would have a significant advantage over us because he bales hay and stuff, you know. I'm betting double on myself for the running, but everything else, no, not a chance.
I think I win everything except for the foot race. You win the race. I think I win in pitching, home run derby, and fielding grounders.
Yeah, fielding grounders is not going to happen. I'm so uncoordinated. Like, there ain't no way.
I was a shortstop. I grew up under the tutelage of watching Ozzie Smith on TV. I mean, I know a thing or two. And I would own you guys with the grounders for sure.
Yeah, I have coordination.
Ken has
at
more
all.
Power with the homers, obviously. He's more brute strength. I mean, he literally bales hay and, like, you know, does farm stuff. But the question is he athletic?
I think if Ken gets a hold of a ball, it's going further than it would off our bats.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the question. If Ken gets a hold of it, it's going further, but can he get a hold of it? And
he's not here to
defend himself, though. I don't know. I ain't pitched in a baseball game since I was in third grade, so you got me. I've got no idea. I'll just try to throw it hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can throw at least 52. I can mow him down.
I can get up there. I'm sure I can get up there in mid-50s.
Four-wheel drive, croc mode. I mean,
yeah,
y'all ain't got a chance, honestly.
No doubt. So. I'm running barefoot. I'm running just tenderfoot. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, that concludes our episode of the Knock-O-Mination Podcast Show. You guys can support us by going to patreon.com/knock-O-Mination. That's patreon.com/knock-O-Mination. Every little bit helps. I think it's $5 a month. Okay? A month. What does that come down to a day? I don't know. Do the math. Not a lot, okay? So support your favorite replacement level podcast as we continue to fight socialism, WRC+, fatherless homes, and war. Yeah. JT, you got anything for the people before we go?
No, not really. SEC football starts in like 3 weeks. I'm really excited.
There you go. There you go. Have a good week, and we'll see y'all later.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knock-O-Homa Nation is brought to you by Knock-O-Homa Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Knock-O-Homa Nation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.